Before you sit down, turn around, say hello to someone, greet them here at KWCF.
Wonderful. This time I just ask you to prepare your tithes and offerings as we continue on. We have a few announcements, but before we jump into the announcements, we have a card that's located right in front of you. And if you are new in our church, we would love you to fill this out and take it back on your way out. At the information desk, we will have a little gift for you prepared. Who doesn't like free gifts? And also, if you like a prayer request or have any comments, make sure to fill this out. This card is for everybody, especially for the newcomers. I'm going to ask the ushers just to come forward as we collect the offering. I'm just going to say a prayer. Father God, we are thankful for your presence with your people. We're thankful for your provisions. We're thankful for your spirit, Father God, that moves within us. And we just pray right now, Father God, that you bless this offering as we give cheerfully. Father God, we know that you cheerfully bless us back. So we just commit this into your hands, and we pray that it would be used for building of your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a couple announcements. In between the services today, downstairs, make sure, right after the service is over, not to run out and go home, but go downstairs in the fellowship hall. We have lots of refreshments, coffee, tea, and just a good time to connect with some of the church members and sort of hang out for about 15, 20 minutes. So make sure to do that right between the services. We have a pathway to membership class that's coming up today. If you still haven't signed up, you're still interested to go, we still have a couple of spaces left, I guess. We'll be meeting downstairs in the basement, I'm sure, no? Oh, in the room in the back? Perfect. So we'll be meeting in the room in the very back. It's starting at 2:30 today and goes up until 5:30. So you can still join us if you're interested to learn about the church and the vision and what we're all about. We would welcome you to come and join us. Men's breakfast is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd. Steak and eggs, of course. That's what men like. They're going to be going through a DVD presentation this year that talks about how great our God is. And the cost for the breakfast is $5. All the men in the house, you're welcome to join May 3rd, Saturday. And then one more announcement we have on Wednesdays. We meet here every Wednesday. Pioneer Clubs runs from 7 to 8:30 downstairs. And we have a prayer and counter service, which is up here. And if you ever wondered what the prayer service is all about, we come here and we spend time with the Lord, and if you need a healing, if you need a deliverance, if you need anything, this is the time where we collectively come as a church and pray together. So you are welcome to join us every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Pastor Ken, you're welcome to come.
Well, thank you, David. One other thing that is happening, and starting this coming Sunday, we're starting a new series. And the name of the series is Heaven is for Real. Heaven is for Real. And we are going to talk over the next number of weeks about heaven. Now, obviously, in the theaters, there is a movie by this name, Heaven is for Real. And I encourage you to go see it. It'll set your heart and ready for our series. It was so nice of them to do this movie for us as we're going to do this series. It just happened they chose the name that we're going to use for our series. And they, I think they even used our graphic. I'm not sure. But we are excited about this. And I must say, you need to come. Because we were going to start this earlier, but the more we got into it, and the more I studied on this, the more I realized, I got to know more about this. And I must say, I have shifted some of my thinking on heaven as a result of reading several books and being in the Bible and thinking about all this. And so it's going to be exciting to share. So next Sunday, the topic will be, what is heaven like? What will heaven be like? So I have no idea. Come next Sunday. because the Bible says more about it than you think. And so we're going to be excited. Bring someone along with you. So all that starts next Sunday. Okay. What is this year? It's a year of... It's a year of double portion. We have been working around this in different ways. A year of double portion. Want you to believe for something. What are you believing for? God says, believe for something. Whatever your portion is, whatever your allotment is, whatever you have right now, why don't you believe for double? And I believe that's God's word to us as a church, a challenge to us, to believe for a double portion this year. Now, along with this, we want to give a double sacrifice, a double offering. And so our challenge has been, what if we double our time in God's word? What if we double the times that we share with other people the good news of Christ? What if you just double different aspects? And the other challenge was, what if we double our prayer life? Why don't we just double the time we spend in prayer? How many remember that challenge? You remember me saying that? Just raise your hand. I won't hold you to it. Just raise your hand. So you remember it. Now listen, this is the last Sunday of April. We are one-third of the way through this year. Have you done it yet? Have you been consistent in it? Have you thought about your double portion? Remember when Elijah said to Elisha, when Elisha asked for a double portion of his spirit, what did Elijah say to him? If you see me when I go, you'll receive it. If not, you won't. So this double portion, we have a part to play in it. And Elisha was very intent to follow Elijah and to be sure he saw him when he went. And I'm speaking to myself because there's some areas I've doubled. I have. There's some areas I've doubled and I'm happy, and there's other areas I haven't. And one of them is the one we're going to talk about today. And I was thinking to myself, a third of the way, you better get to it, Pastor Ken. I don't always call myself pastor, but... You better get to it. And that's my challenge to all of us today. So I want to talk to you about prayer. I want to talk about doubling your prayer life. See, we all have good intentions. We have good intentions. I have good intentions. I very seldom have a bad intention. I do bad things, but I don't intend to do it. Most of my intentions are good. My problem is I don't follow through on my intentions. I don't always do the things I want to do. And remember a few weeks ago when we shared the container of water and said the water is our life, and we tried to shape that water, and we said, you know, you need something, a device to pour the water into so it would take a shape. And so we need a device to help us to pray more than we've ever prayed before. We need a device, something to help us. Now, what if we could just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what is that device? Lord, teach us to pray. Wouldn't it be neat if you could just ask the Lord to teach us how to pray? I got some good news for you. That's exactly how the disciples felt. And the disciples said, teach us how to pray. They either observed Jesus praying, or they saw the intensity of his life. Whatever it was, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And as a result, the Lord taught them how to pray. And what did he tell them? He said, pray after this manner. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. He taught them how to pray. Now, this prayer is not just a prayer to be recited, although there's nothing wrong with that. But this is a prayer that's a model prayer. It's a teaching prayer. He said, pray after this manner. And so what I want to do is use the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as a guide, as a structure, as a device, something that you can pour your life and your prayer life, your prayer intentions into, so that you can pray more than what you've ever prayed before. Now, when I was a child, we used to sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And so I would determine I want to pray an hour. It was sort of, I don't know how an hour came to be, but I guess it came from that song. You know, you just sort of pray. If you really had a good prayer life, you'd pray an hour in prayer. And I remember getting down and praying about everything I could think about. You know, go through everything until your mind just sort of dries up. And then I'd look at my watch. 10 minutes had gone by. Do you ever feel that way? And yet I knew there was all kinds of other things to pray for, but they just weren't coming to my mind. The Lord taught his disciples to pray, and he said, pray after this manner. And I believe that the Lord's Prayer is a guide that allows us to pray systematically through different areas and topics that would be in a way that's pleasing to him. Because he said, after this manner, pray. So we're going to go through this today, and I'm going to take every phrase, and we're just going to talk about each phrase and how it is a category for you to pour your prayers into so that you can offer it to the Lord in a way that would be fervent and effectual. Because the fervent, effectual prayer avails much. Now, I was going to do a handout and give it to you, but I thought the best thing is rather than having a paper worth a bunch of fill-ins, at the end of the service, as you go out, every person will receive what I'm going to put on the screens today. So you won't have to take notes, but do get that paper and use it to pour your prayers into. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll use that paper every day, you won't only double your prayer life, you might triple, quadruple, quadruple, quintuple, cess something, I don't know. But you know what I mean. You know, I'm praying that God will take a very tangible thing, the outline of this prayer, and revolutionize our lives. And it certainly can happen if you will allow to. It has changed my, you know, I came across this about 30 years ago. And it has so benefited me over the years. And there are periods of time when I'll really use this intensely almost every time I pray. And then other times it's so in my mind now, I hardly need to have it. But at the beginning, I just put that prayer guide in front of me. And I just follow through the prayer guide, and I encourage you to do that until you make it your own. All right, let's get started into this. The prayer starts. Jesus said, pray after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven. And so the very first thing you want to do is realize prayer comes out of relationship. Relationship. All prayer is out of relationship. Will God hear your prayer? He'll hear you if you're praying in relationship. Well, you might say, well, I have no relationship with God. Well, the very first thing you need to do is do the sinner's prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember when Jesus talked about the publican and the Pharisee? And the Pharisee went through all his great things that he was doing. I fast, I pray. And the publican, all he just said was, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that man's prayer was heard. Why? Because he was praying in relationship. He started where he was and realized I need to repent of my sins. So it starts in relationship. And of course, once you are, then you realize that God, because he created all things, he's my Father. And then secondly, we're twice his by creation and redemption. Because he died on the cross, it says when we accept him, we're born again, we are adopted into his family. So we're his by creation, and we're also his because he redeemed us. And as we prayed in the prayer at the beginning of the service, because of what he did on the cross, there's an entrance into a relationship with him that we would have in no other way. And so you start and you just realize that. And then the third thing, and how I would do it, is just picture Calvary and thank God you can call him Father by virtue of the atonement of Jesus. And so you just start just coming in to say, our Father. And that's an amazing thing. This isn't a God so far off that's just steer and, you know, you got to have flowery language. No, you can just say, my Father or Daddy. Even Jesus prayed Abba, which is sort of a form of Daddy. And that's the closeness and relationship that you can come. So you start out a relationship, our Father which art in heaven. And then you move into the next phrase, hallowed be thy name. Once you just sense that relationship you have with God, then you enter into praise. So the next part of your prayer is praise. And so what do? You hallow the name of Jesus as you realize that it is through him that we have received the benefits revealed through the compound names of God. Now, some of you may not know what the compound names of God are. In the Old Testament, as God revealed himself to them, all of a sudden they'd say, oh, that's what God's like. It's like when Abraham was on the mountain and he found the ram caught in a thicket. And he took the ram and as a sacrifice. And he said, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah is my provider. And it was like a light went on because they didn't know God like we do. God was revealing. And they said, oh, God provides. And so there's 8 times in the Bible where this is mentioned, where God was revealed to them in a certain way. And let's just go down the list. The first one is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means Jehovah is our righteousness. And the second compound name is Jehovah Makadosh, which means Jehovah who sanctifies. So this is what I would encourage you to do as you praise God. You start with relationship, then you move into the praise time. And you say, Lord, I thank you that you're my righteousness. See, that's what you got to realize. You can't be good enough. You can't be good enough to come to God. That's why we need a Savior. He has to be our righteousness. That dawns on you. If you're trying to be good enough to please God, you might as well just stop now because you're not going. He is our righteousness. You know, he gives us robes of righteousness. And so he is my righteousness. And he also is Jehovah who sanctifies. Sanctifies means he's changing us and making us better. When he says he's a righteous, he just declares you righteous. He just says you're righteous enough because I give you my righteousness. Sanctification is he's actually changing you and making you better day by day, day by day. You're dropping sins away and you're becoming more holy and you're coming more into his presence. You're being more what God wants you to be. That's the sanctifying. Now, even that, the scripture says that Jesus is our sanctifier. Jehovah is our sanctifier. So if you stay in relationship with God, you will grow. Just as much as a little child, if they keep eating and they have life and they drink water, they're going to grow. Or a plant. If it has water and sunshine and the right atmosphere, the plant will grow. And the same with us. If you are in relationship and you are fellowshipping with the Lord, he is your sanctifier. And so you just thank the Lord for that. And you just start off. And I'll just say many times, Lord, I just thankful. I can't be good enough. I thank you, Lord, you look past my faults. I just thank you that you're my righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that even the changing of my life, I can't change it. You change me. Lord, make me a better person than I've ever been. Help these things to fall away that's no good. See, and you just thank it. See, you're just praising the Lord. But you can use the compound names because you realize every benefit that God gives you would come under one of these categories. Let's move quickly to the next one. And that's the whole area of salvation. I sort of put that under the area of salvation. Your righteousness, he sanctifies you. Your next is the sense of God's Spirit. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah is there, and Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah is peace. We talked about it today. You are the air I breathe. That's the Spirit of God. It's not dead doctrines you're trying to believe. It's not an austere God that you don't know anything about, but you know what? I better honor him. No, his Spirit is very present. He promises that when we accept him, he comes into our life. His Spirit abides with us. He's with us, and you know what? When he's there, we're at peace. You'll never be more peaceful when God's in your life because you were designed to have God in your life. And so you thank him for it. You say, Lord, I thank you that you are close to me. I can talk to you. You're the very air I breathe. And Lord, that there's no condemnation, that you give me peace in my heart. And you just thank him for that. Then you move to the next area of soundness, which is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, which means Jehovah heals. Have you ever been touched by the Lord's and received a healing? I have. The first healing I ever had was when I was 8. And I was so young, and so it's hard to know the significance of it, but I found that my blood sugar was high, and I remember during those years, the diabetes ran in our family, and they were afraid I had diabetes. And I remember I couldn't eat cookies and all this for I don't know how long. And one Sunday morning we came forward, and the pastor, my mother brought me up, and I still remember when he put his hand on me, I felt a warmth go through my whole body. I just felt a warmth go through me, just as a little guy, 8 years of age. And they went into tests, and all the tests came back normal. And I've been eating cookies ever since. Too many. I tell Kay, don't cook those cookies. Jehovah heals. And so you remember in your mind the times the Lord has healed you. See, we're just in praise here. You're just praising the Lord. And you're just in this category. You're just thanking the Lord for healing. You can go to the next one, your success. Jehovah Jireh, already mentioned. Jehovah's provision shall be seen. And you just thank the Lord for all the times he's ever provided for you. And just rehearse it through your mind. Lord, I thank you when I needed that, and I prayed and it came. I thank you for that good job. I thank you for that promotion. I thank you, Lord, for that gift that came right when we needed some help. Whatever it might be, whenever God has provided for it, you just thank him. See, you're working your way through praise. Hallowed be your name. And so you're just thanking him for the compound names of the Lord. Now, it all sums up in the name of Jesus. But as he revealed himself in the Old Testament, it was through these categories. Now we move to security, Jehovah Nissi, which is Jehovah my banner, and Jehovah Rohi, which is Jehovah my shepherd. And so in these two, it speaks about how God cares for us. He's our banner. Boy, I wish I had more time to talk about this, because back when I first, this is back 30 years ago, at this time, I was asking the Lord, what does it mean? You're my banner. You're my banner. There's got to be some real benefit. I don't know what it means. You know, his banner over me is love. I didn't know what the banner meant. And at that time, Iraq and Iran was at war. This is in the 80s. And they were attacking the Kuwaiti ships as they went through the Gulf. And how the U.S. combated it, they said to the Kuwaiti, you fly our flag on your ships. So when the Kuwaiti ship was going through the Gulf, they were flying the stars and stripes. What did that mean? That meant if they attacked that ship, it was like they were attacking a ship of the U.S. They never attacked those ships anymore, just simply because the U.S. flag was flying on it. Now, folks, Christ is our banner. There's a banner over your life. You know, there's some attacks that might have come your way and you don't even know it, but you missed it. Some things might have transpired and it never happened because his banner's over you. I want his banner flying. And I pray at this time, say, oh, thank you, Lord, that your banner, and I remember sometimes, and I can't go into them now, but I remember in a particular time, I felt led to do something and I did it. And I didn't, you know, it was sort of out of the ordinary, but I did it. And then it was about 3 weeks later, something happened, and I was so glad I had done that, because if I hadn't have done that then, I would have been in a real mess. And I remember thinking, Lord, thank you for that. And when I was going through that, the Lord is my banner, I realized, you know what, Lord, you're protecting me all the time, and I don't even realize it. Because you're my banner. And so you praise him for that. And then he's my shepherd. Boy, just open Psalm 23, the Lord's shepherd. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by the still waters. And you just go through that psalm, you're like, the Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Just read through it and thank him, Lord, you're my shepherd. So that's the praise area. Then we move to the next phrase. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe this is the meat and potatoes of the Lord's Prayer. Because here you're establishing God's will. You're saying, Lord, what your will is in heaven, let it be done on earth. And so God has a will for everything on earth. And his will is done in heaven. And we need to pray specifically now into this category, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say you have some neighbors and you see, they're messing up. Their kids are not right and their marriage is breaking up. And they're your neighbors and you care for them. And you realize, boy, Satan's really messing with their life. You know how you need to pray? Lord, you've got a will for this family that lives beside me. You got a will for those kids. Lord, I pray that your kingdom will come into that family. What the plans you have for them in heaven, would it come to them on earth? And you just pray through categories. Now, I wrote down a number of categories on my prayer guide, and this is the ones I use. You can make your own, but this is the ones I have used. I first start with governmental leaders, because the Bible says, first pray for those that have rule over you. So I pray for governmental leaders. And I usually start with Ban Ki-moon, who is the Secretary General of the United Nations. And I say, God, that United Nations is there. It's a place where they come together and meet. And I just pray for wisdom for that man and all the ambassadors that are there. Then I move to national leaders, and I pray for Stephen Harper. And I say, oh, God, would you use that man? Lord, he's leading this nation. Whatever your will for Canada, however you want that man to lead our nation, I pray that whatever your will is in heaven, you would do it in Stephen Harper's life. And then I pray for leader of the opposition, Thomas Mulcair. Say, Lord, this man, he's influential. I pray, Lord, you take him in your hand. Use him for your honor. Whatever your will for him in heaven, let it be on earth. And of late, I've been praying for Justin Trudeau. I never thought I'd be praying for him on a regular basis, but he's the Liberal leader. And say, Lord, this young man, a lot of background, a lot of zeal, a lot of influence. Lord, would you grip his heart? May he come to know you. Whatever your will in heaven is for that man, would it come about on earth? And you just work your way through, down through the provincial leaders. Pray for Kathleen Wynne. Lord, she's our Premier of Ontario. And then I pray for Tim Hudak, who is the leader of the opposition. And pray for, Angela Horvath, who is the NDP leader. Say, these people are influential in our province. Lord, we want them. And you just pray through them. You just pray through the leaders. I used to have, I'd get little things and print it off, all the leaders of the nations. Because then I'd go to other national leaders and pray for Obama and pray for Cameron in England and pray for Putin. Do you think he should be prayed for? He should be prayed for. And say, Lord, whatever you have for that man as he leads Russia, whatever in heaven you have for the Russian nation, Lord, I pray that it would come about through that man of influence. And you just pray God's kingdom come on earth through these categories. Now, I could take more and more time, but pray for civic leaders, for Carl Zayer. Pray for Brenda Holwyn, who is the mayor of Waterloo. And some of these mayors are changing. They're not running again. And so we have new leaders coming in. Pray for the election that's coming up. Pray for the provincial election that's probably going to come up this spring or summer. And just pray. You're just praying through these categories. And then you move from government leaders to influential leaders. And you pray for police. There's a good time now to pray for the new police chief that's going to be in Waterloo region. Say, Lord, you have a man who represents you, that has authority in this nation over our police force. Lord, would you put the right person in that job? Well, whoever you have in heaven to be in that job, I pray it comes about. And just pray through influential leaders. Pray for the judges. that are in our courts and making sentences. Pray for the business leaders. Pray for companies. Say, Lord, they're influential companies and they have a workforce. I pray that your will be done for BlackBerry. Lord, let your kingdom come. Whatever you want, whatever those men that are leading it, would you shape it and make it the way you want it to be? And you just work your way on down through. Then you pray for yourself. Pray for your time, how you spend your time, your work, your finances, your plans, your ambitions, your hobbies, your relationship, your future. And in this time, you're saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to just do what I want to do. I want my life to count for your kingdom. Would your kingdom come to me in these areas and pray through it? Just listen to his voice as you're praying through it. And then pray for associates, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, your fellow workers. You're just praying your way through this category. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for church. Pray for the spiritual leaders. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the elders. Pray for other members. Take your church directory. Put your hand on it. Say, Lord, all these people, I don't know them all, but we're part and parcel of KW Christian Fellowship. Lord, would we be faithful? Maybe God will link you to two or three and you pray specifically for them. But you're just praying for God's kingdom to come in these areas. Then you move on to number four, and I have to just quicken the pace a little bit here. Give us this day our daily bread. Here is where you pray for all material needs. This is the category. You have needs. You pray for it here. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is how I broke it down. I start with searching your heart to see if your greatest desire is the kingdom of God. Because it's linked. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Now, if I want some things added to me, material things added to my life, I want to make sure I'm seeking his kingdom first. So you deal with that in prayer. And then B, you ask God to reveal to you any changes regarding your work habits, your diligence, and giving habits. Now, why would you do that? Because that's linked. It said, the hand of the diligent makes rich. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. So when I'm asking God to give me stuff, I'm saying, Lord, am I working right? Am I giving what you want me to give? Am I seeking you first? Man, you just go through this, and it's amazing what God will whisper into your heart as you're just working your way through the Lord's Prayer. And then you can come to the next one, believe God is your source of supply. God is not my paycheck. You're my source. You can give me money and funds and from any. And Lord, I just look to you. Lord, you're my source of supply. And then be specific in what you need that day. Now notice this double emphasis on day. Give me this day my daily bread. Double emphasis on daily. We go far too much in the future. We get worried about financial things way far off. What happens if this? What happens if this? God says, today is enough just to pray about. Give me this day my daily bread. I wish I had more time to tell you experiences when I've been praying through this. I remember one time specifically praying, and I needed something to happen that day. I was on my knees, and I said, Lord, I'm praying this day because this day I need this. And the phone rang while I was on my knees. I went and answered the phone, and it was exactly the answer to what I was praying. And I had waited 3 months, and nothing had happened. But the day I needed it, it happened. I tell you, talk about chills going through your body. When you're praying and a phone rings, you realize, you know what? God is real. And if you're serious about praying, and you're praying according to his will, things happen. And now, if it doesn't happen, then he has a reason he's not allowing it to happen. He's either adjusting your direction or he's telling you to do something else. Sometimes God doesn't always just say yes to everything you pray. But he'll tell you in prayer as you pray. Maybe he just says wait, or he'll tell you, you need to do this. And you just follow it. And make faith declaration. Say, Lord, you are my source. Lord, I believe you will answer my prayer. And you just positively declare faith into whatever you're praying for. Lord, I need that car. Lord, you know I need transportation. Lord, you know I need a job. Lord, I just believe, and I believe that you're going to open that job to me. And you just make faith declarations around it. Here's number five in the prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In this category, you deal with sin. You deal with sin. Here's how I go through it. Number A, confess and ask God to forgive you of all sins of which you are conscious. And if you're walking in God's Spirit, you're conscious of them. It's only when you're, you know, if you don't know God and you're just out in the world and you're sinning, maybe you're not conscious that you're sinning. But once you come to the Lord and his light shines on your life and you sin, you know it and you feel conviction. Just confess all conscious sins to the Lord. And then secondly, ask God to search your heart, reveal any additional sins that might be there. And then C, forgive and release others, especially those who have not asked. Now, this is the interesting thing. See, we don't add these many times when we're asking God to forgive us. But Jesus taught, he said, if you don't forgive your neighbor his trespasses, how will God forgive you? Now, that's strong. But it's trying to tell you there's a link here. You need to forgive other people. And that brings us to the last one. Set your will to forgive all those who have sinned against you. People that have hurt you. People that have offended you. People that do things that you feel that's not right and that is hurting me, that's damaging me. Are you forgiving them every day in prayer? You'll get rid of a lot of resentment. You'll get rid of a lot of anger if you'll just release it to God in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm releasing this to you. I need your forgiveness. Lord, help me to forgive them. And you're just working your way down through this prayer. And then the next one is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's where you're preparing your life, or your heart for the day. And I encourage you to pray in the morning. If you pray in the evening, that's okay, because the evening and the morning was the first day. But whatever, to prepare yourself for the day. Here's what it says. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You need to premeditate the places of temptation if you're going to be an overcomer. Here's how I would do it. A, identify areas of temptation where you've fallen in the past. B, determine not to be led into situations and circumstances which cause you to become vulnerable to Satan's attacks. We know many times we put ourselves in wrong places. And you know it. Just don't put yourself in those places. Pray it through beginning. C, prayerfully premeditate the temptations you may face and intercede until you see yourself strong and victorious. Now, this is really important here because this is, to me, the key of this part of the prayer. Jesus and Peter were both in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, Jesus faced the cross. And in prayer, he faced the cup of sins of all the world coming to him, and he had to drink that cup. And he wrestled with it, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He said, Father, if it be possible, I don't want to do this. In his natural self, he didn't want to do it. But then he prayed it through and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He won the victory of the cross in prayer in Gethsemane. When he was on the cross, the battle was already won. He had prayed it through. They were taunting him on the cross, but it didn't have any effect. He had already won the victory in prayer. Now, Peter was in Gethsemane, but he slept. And what did Jesus say to him? Peter, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Peter didn't face that night in prayer. He was sleeping. Peter should have been in prayer saying, Father, Jesus said I was going to deny him 3 times before morning. Lord, I don't want to deny him. How would that be? What cases would it come that I would deny the Lord? Strengthen me, Lord, that I don't deny him. Peter should have been praying through that temptation in Gethsemane, but he slept. Then when the temptation came, he fell. Jesus faced the temptation in prayer, and he was victorious. So you, when you're praying in this area, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Think through the areas of where you're tempted and what you're going to face that day. Say, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. Lord, when I get in that situation, I fall, and I don't want to fall. So, Lord, help me. And you avoid those things. And then I just have to leave this part. Picture yourself putting on the whole armor of God, which protects you from devastating temptation. So you pray that your loins are girt with truth, as though you're determined to be absolutely honest. 2, breastplate of righteousness. Realize that Christ is your righteousness. 3, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, ready to share your witness. Are you praying every day, preparing yourself to share your witness? You need to be. Put on those shoes. Preparing yourself. Lord, whoever I face today, give me opportunity to share the gospel with them. Have the cards, the invitation cards from the church. Have some other kind of thing that you do. You engage people in conversation. I was just yesterday checking out something in a store. The lady was dealing with me, and she was sort of nice, and I said to her, you know, you've been so nice to me. I want to give you an invitation. And I gave her a card, and I said, it's to our church just up the road. Oh, she said, okay. And then I said to her, I invite people even that's not nice. But I said, you are nice. You know, so she laughed, and we talked. And you know what? Before this year, I wouldn't have done that. I would have waited. If she had engaged me, I would have talked. But see, you got to be intentional. Are you preparing your feet? I got to go on. Shield of faith. Realize that all things work together for good. Helmet of salvation. Ask for protection over your thought life. That brings us to the last one. And for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. This is affirmation. You end your prayer time affirming the majesty, honor, dominion, might, and glory of God. You don't go out pitiful. Oh, I've just told everything bad to the Lord, and oh, my life's so bad, but I prayed about it, and you sort of slink out of your prayer time. No, you go to your prayer time saying, God, you are majestic. You have the honor. You have the power. You're in control. You can do all things. You encourage yourself. You affirm. You end your prayer affirming God. And then secondly, you yield the throne of your heart. Picture Jesus sitting on it, because he's ruling over the kingdom of hearts today. And if you're going to say, your kingdom come, he's going to first come on the throne of your life. So you say, Lord, today rule my life. And then see, give God the ownership, authority, and credit. The kingdom is the ownership. The power is the authority, and the glory is the credit. So you end your prayer by saying, today, Lord, I give you ownership of everything. I give you authority over everything I do. And Lord, I'm going to give you the credit for everything that's accomplished. Amen and amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. Now, I have rushed through this morning, but you can see how rich this can become if you use the Lord's Prayer Guide. And you'll get a copy as you go. Take the sheet with you. And here's what I would say. Will we make a commitment today to pray? I've said many times, Satan is not afraid of people who know how to pray. He's not afraid of people who know how to pray. He's afraid of people who pray. And I'm challenging you, we're a third of the way through this year. Would you pick up this prayer guide and every day start through this? I'll guarantee you, you won't get through this in an hour. Talk about sweet hour of prayer. Just keep it with you, and wherever you end, just stop there. You can go on. Then you got a few moments later on the day, just pick it up where you are. That evening, just pick it up. Or the next day, just pick it off where you left off, and just pray yourself through this prayer guide. And you'll find that things will change in your life. You'll have a peace in your heart. I remember one person asking me one time, it was one of the people that was instrumental in us getting this property. I was sitting right out down there in the car with him, and he wasn't a Christian. And after getting to know him, he said to me, he said, you need to pray for me. And I turned to him and I said, I pray for you every day. And it was no lie. Because he was on my list when I got to influential authorities. And I prayed for him every day. You know the peace that gave me, and I could see it wash across his face. Does he really pray for me every day? Does he care that much about me? Do you care enough about people that you'll pray? It changes lives. It changes lives. Will you make a commitment with me today? Will you make a commitment to pray? Make a commitment to use this prayer guide. Someone might say, well, do I want to use that? No, you can pray any other way you pray. Just add the prayer guide to it. But just make a commitment to pray. If you would you raise your hand? You're making a commitment this morning. I'm going to increase my prayer time. I'm going to increase my prayer time. Lift your hand right up high. Let the Lord see it. I'm making the commitment. I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed before. Father, we lift our hands this morning, and we're making a commitment to you that we're going to be intentional about prayer. We're going to pray the way you taught us to pray. And Lord, we're going to believe for great things to happen in our personal lives, in our families, and in this church, and in our nation. I pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. All right, I have kept you. So now you've got to go downstairs. Go downstairs, sign up for the different things for our class this afternoon. You're welcome. But go downstairs, have a cup of coffee. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.